Hey everybody, welcome back with session 9 of our series. Tonight we're talking on the theme of Be Awed. God is sufficient for any insufficiency you may feel. We've talked a lot about how awe replaces our fears. And tonight I'd like to think about the fear that is triggered by our insufficiencies. We feel our insufficiencies all the time, of course. We reflect it in statements like this. I can't handle the pressure I'm under. I can't face what I have to deal with. I can't take the conflict. I can't stand living with this person anymore. I can't bear one more piece of bad news. All of your I can'ts make you feel afraid. They are a trigger for fears. If I could put them this way, I'll take those 5 things I just mentioned. I can't handle the pressure I'm under. Probably means I'm afraid I'll just explode with all of the things that are coming at me. It's going to affect me physically, emotionally. I can't face seeing my ex-wife again. Could carry the idea. I'm afraid it will emotionally devastate me. I can't take what I'm hearing on the news. Would be something like, I'm afraid it will make me violently angry, or I'm afraid of how I'll respond. I'm afraid of being afraid as I listen to the news. I can't stand living with this person might mean I am afraid I'll hate myself or them and of what I'll do as a result. I can't bear one more piece of bad news. I'm afraid it will send me into depression or anger or worry or despair. For some, even make me feel suicidal. Your insufficiencies are triggers for fear. So how does awe help us overcome our insufficiencies and to deal with our insufficiencies? And I'd say in 2 particular ways, because what awe does is awe, first of all, helps us remember who we are. Dr. Seuss tells this in one of my favorite books. It's called Bartholomew Cubbins and His 500 Hats. And early in the book, it portrays this young guy, Bartholomew Cubbins, and he's looking up, and here's the scene that Dr. Seuss presents. The kingdom of Did was ruled by King Derwin. His palace stood high on the top of the mountain. From his balcony, he looked down over the houses of all his subjects, first over the spires of the noblemen's castles, across the broad roofs of the rich men's mansions, then over the little houses of the townsfolk to the huts of the farmers far off in the fields. It was a mighty view, and it made King Derwin feel mighty important. Far off in the fields, on the edge of a cranberry bog, stood the hut of the Cubbins family. From the small door, Bartholomew looked across the huts of the farmers to the houses of the townsfolk, then to the rich men's houses, and the noblemen's castles, up to the great towering palace of the king. It was exactly the same view that King Derwin saw from his balcony, but Bartholomew saw it backward. It was a mighty view, but it made Bartholomew Cubbins feel mighty small. Jennifer Steller, professor of psychology at the University of Toronto, has studied the subject of awe. And in her studies, she based on her research on the fact that she had studied 120 different countries and their understanding of the concept of awe. She concluded that every culture has the concept of awe. Even emojis, when they would show an emoji of someone with a wide-eyed, with a mouth open expression, just looking stunned, everybody recognized it in their culture as referring to this concept of awe. And as she studied awe and its impact on people, she came to the conclusion that the more a person experienced the sense of awe, the more they tended to have humility. Awe shows us our smallness. all reminds you about yourself that you were never designed to handle everything in your life. The bigger God becomes, the more central he becomes as you look at life, the smaller you become, and honestly, more realistically look at life. A.W. Tozer, in his book, The Knowledge of the Holy, says it this way: before he created everything we know and billions of things beyond our capacity to know, God was existing in completeness. Man is a created being, a derived and contingent self who of himself possesses nothing but is dependent each moment for his existence upon the one who created him after his own likeness. A question sometimes raised in practical theology is our sense of dependence and need of God a result of sin? And a fairly quick examination of Genesis 1 through 3, the first three chapters of the Bible, answers the question with a resounding no. In pre-fall Eden, before man had entered into sin, Adam and Eve were created with need. Even before the fateful plucking of the forbidden fruit, they depended on God for the breath in their lungs, the food in their bellies, for water, land, and light. As Jen Wilkin, in her great book, None Like Him, says, God created them needy, that in their need they might turn to the source of all that is needful, acknowledge their need, and worship. Sanctification is the process of learning increasing dependence, not autonomy. That we were never designed to handle everything in our lives. We are designed to be people that are dependent on someone else. We are not created sufficient for the lot of our lives. But more than that, we find that the fall makes us even less capable of handling everything in our lives. I mentioned Genesis 1 through 3. Now I'll mention Romans 1 through 3. In that passage, it's clear that we have been marred by sin and self-centeredness, and we find it much more difficult to meet the relational needs in people's relationship needs in our lives. We find that we are insufficient. I remember the husband once I was talking to, and he was really trying to wrestle with this passage about how he was to love his wife and to be the initiator of love in the model of Christ for his church. And I remember him saying, he said, I'm trying, but my wife is a bottomless pit. But I fell for him. I get it. And basically, he wasn't made to do that in his own strength. We are designed to love our wives through the power of Christ's love, and so on in all of our relationships. And that's why Paul once said, I glory in my weaknesses. He says, I glory in circumstances in 2 Corinthians 12 that cause me to see that I'm weak, that I'm overwhelmed, because in those weaknesses, they help me to see my need of God. And he says, the result is then, in my weakness, I'm made strong in God's strength. Awe helps us remember who we are, insufficient for all the things that come into our lives. Secondly, awe helps you remember who God is, that God is sufficient to handle everything he gives to you. I'm going to go back to a couple of sessions. One of our sessions, we talked about God is that we find awe, we are awed by God in that he is sovereign, that he is sovereign over all the circumstances of our lives. We also talked about how we are to be awed by God is surrounding us with protection, that God is involved in the choices of all the circumstances and whatever comes to us, he has allowed. He is also the one that is portrayed as a shield around us, the protective one. And if anything comes to us, it has come through the sovereign merciful purposes of God. Now, we know that. We can embrace it, but of course, we still feel insufficient when they come. So he also wants to awe us with the reality he is sufficient to handle everything he allows to come to you. Isaiah 59, verse 1 says, "Surely the arm of the Lord is not too short to save, nor his ears too dull to hear." In Philippians 4:19, Paul says it this way, "And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus." He says, God will provide for every need. He is not short in his capacity to reach. His arm is not short. He can provide for all of our needs. Of course, just sidebar, it's needs, not wants. Sometimes we mix up the two, of course, that God is sufficient to provide everything, but that does not indicate he will provide all our wants. He may not provide the new Maserati you'd like. He may not provide the new vacation home or that promotion. Or we can get creative and we can say, well, I bought, you know, this house way beyond what I should have done, and now we're in this financial crisis, and it might have been a want at the time, but now I'm in need. You know, now I need God to provide money, and now I need God to provide and to meet my mortgage. Well, the question is, why? Why do you need that? Well, I need that because I could default on my loan. I could lose a house. It could impact my credit. Quite honestly, I could look really bad. Well, it may be that your need is exactly the experience of those failures. God's sufficiency is not a vending machine for our wants, but he will care for your needs of shelter and care. He will provide what you need to live joyfully and contentedly. He will give you what you need to serve him, to obey him, and to love others. God is sufficient to handle everything he gives to you. Secondly, God is sufficient to handle everything as you give it back to him. Psalm 55, verse 17 says this, "Cast your burdens on the Lord." And the word burden there, as I mentioned in an earlier session, literally means cast on him what he's given to you. The anxiety-producing stuff in your life, he says, cast on him because he's sufficient. All reminds you not to carry your feelings of insufficiency, but to turn them as opportunities to cast your cares on God. During the pandemic, I've asked people to share in my weekly newsletter. I encouraged people to just send me stories of how God has been at work in their lives in the pandemic. I just have some amazing stories that is going on and have gone on in our church family. One of those is from a man in our church who is a small business owner in the building trade. And I'd like to read part of his letter. He said, "I'm sure I have in common what all the stories have, the phrase, then the virus happened. Governor Murphy's closing of non-essential businesses did not include our company, thankfully. However, our customers are 95% medium to large-sized businesses, virtually all of which closed up or began working remotely. The first week of this was taken well in stride, almost welcomed as a surprise week vacation. As we entered the beginning of week two, I found that my plan for the week was but one residential service call. Little did I know that was going to be all for the next 6 weeks. At this spot, I'll stop and explain a little about what it's been to run a small business for the last 16 years. From the beginning of the business being born, it's been very evident that every good thing that's happened has been of God. Much as I've read, gone to conferences, tried to network, the real opportunities seem to come almost out of the air like manna. Year to year, I analyze my performance as well as the company as a whole and do my best to improve like I imagine anyone else would and does. I feel privileged that God has allowed me to recognize it's all from Him and how little I have to do with it in this beautiful way. So back to my six-week virus-induced, unscheduled, and unwanted vacation. As we moved into April, about 3 to 4 weeks without work, I began to realize my earnings were about to tank. My salary lags as I get paid weeks, months after the jobs are done. Suddenly, all my future plans of building a house, kids going to Christian school, vacation were put into question. Being the bigger picture thinking I try to be, I started to wonder, am I out of business here? I've always known that's possible in my future as nothing is promised to me as far as what comfort, position, location of where I live. I just never imagined it all happened while spending my days playing with our kids as though I'm on vacation and feeling like I can't even work my business. The news was all negative all the time as well from the many people I knew. I spent a good 6 to 7 days in a bad place. My mind filled with doubt about this year and became frustrated and edgy. It was at this time that I turned to God for answers. Yes, unfortunately, 6 to 7 days later. He opened my eyes to remembering all the wonderful years past of blessing, and I began to give thanks to Him as none of those years can ever be taken away. As I was thanking Him, I felt Him direct my thoughts to the company's record year and felt God asked me, "Did you see that year coming in your projections?" In my heart, He ministered to me as I was reminded how awesome He had been to me and my family. It was then that it occurred to me that I am limited seemingly on all sides. So much so that I can't even think what to do in that moment. My God, He is not dependent on the economy. It doesn't matter to Him what the governor restricts or how gloomy the outlook being spoken into my life. I heard His voice toward me as I was reading in the Old Testament, "Is my arm too short?" Or more directly, "Am I only able to bless you if the economy is doing well?" How loved I felt, and it humbled me to tears. The next several weeks was a different me. With no signs of anything good coming, I began to feel confidence from the Lord. I shared this with my wife and even thought, who's to say this won't be a record year or better than hoped? Once the 6 weeks had passed, a bunch of things seemed to happen at once, and we went from zero to busy in literally days. Not only did we get busy, we stayed busy through September. And while I don't see us setting a new record this year will definitely not be among the worst, which is amazing and humbling to me. There's many challenges that occurred both in the business and delays with our home building this year. Overall, we are incredibly blessed. This particularly was such a strong reminder of not only God's unlimited power, but His love for me and my family. I don't know why He loves me as much as He does. Man, I tell you, I feel His loving arms around me, and this story breathed new confidence in me and renewed faith. I really believe we sell God short by focusing on our insufficiencies. This brother was right when he said that God didn't guarantee him record years, a new home, or business success. But he found God's promise that He would take care of him before God did anything with the business turnaround. Is my arm too short? Or as he said more directly, am I able to bless you if the economy is doing well, is not doing well? Your insufficiencies are God's way of prompting you to look to Him. He wants to awe you with Himself. You were not designed to be sufficient in yourself. The reminder of your weaknesses is designed to lead you to Him. Be awed. God is sufficient for any insufficiency you might feel.